Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Baybrook Mall in Friendswood. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to text the show. You can also get us on Twitter. Certainly AJ will respond. I'm doing the best I can here. Little computer issues. But we're out here at Baybrook Mall and right out in the middle of everything. And Perry's just brought us some fantastic food.
Oh, they brought us a pork chop. It's so good.
We got cookies from Nestle Toll House. I mean, they're taking care of us out here. Maggiano's brought us a beer. Can't really complain.
It's hard
about
to beat,
anything.
Man.
Yeah, it's a good setup, and they're going to have a great setup for the game tonight. They got the big screen right behind us, and if you want to come out and say hello, we've got a bunch of stuff that they're giving away. Just go over to the promo tent and tell them you want to win stuff because they're going to take care of you. They're giving away something every 30 minutes here. So come on out and get yourself set up for the game tonight. It'd be a great place to watch, and especially you know, get in the shade here, man. It's fine, which we're in the shade, so it's all good.
It's all good for us.
Yeah.
I mean, some other, you guys are going to have to find your own shade. Don't get under here in ours.
No. There's not enough room for you. I mean, we barely have enough room for the three of us here, so we can't share it with you. First hour, if you missed it, we had a lot of talk about people being whiners. We had a lot of talk about Texans-Patriots. And
thank you.
This hour we'll do some fantasy with Chris Harris. So if you have fantasy questions, but not do I start this guy or that guy, but you know, fantasy questions that can apply to a lot of things, please just text the show for the 5:30 segment, and we'll do our best to get them in. And working with a very slow computer that's not mine, so my 4-day-old computer has already died. Which
I can't believe it.
I can't either. It was working fine at home, and then I come out here and I sit down, get here early as always, and I got here early enough where I thought about running back downtown and trying to get it, but you know, I had 45 traffic, get my backup. So, no, I'm doing the best I can. So, I'm really not on Twitter. So, if I'm not apologizing to your tweets, I apologize. And, you know, the best I can do is text, but it's really slow. So, and it's really hard to ignore the really awful texts. So, try to avoid doing those just because it's just gumming up the works. We're trying to do the best we can here. But this is a great setup. And, man, I if you get a chance, come on out here. You will enjoy it. Did you see... I thought this was something that might interest you because you were one of the first people to really hammer Baylor for stuff. Did you see what Jim Grobe did last weekend with Sean Oakman?
No.
Sean Oakman apparently showed up in the locker room.
Why?
That's a great question. He was asked afterwards, why would Sean Oakman be in there? And he goes, I don't know Sean Oakman. I don't know who he is.
Oh, he knows who he is.
Of course he does. Then he comes back. And now he's blaming the media and calling the media unprofessional. Because basically he was saying what he was trying to say is I wouldn't know him if I saw him.
Yeah, you would.
And there were a lot of people in there. So, well, of course, he's a 6'9 guy. But it's just another one of those things where they're just – well, and I – there's not much Baylor can do about Art Briles showing up at a game that's not in their stadium. I get that. I mean, I think it's terrible, but I get it. But you can't have Sean Oakman in your locker room. Somebody's got to be smarter than that, right?
I would think. But apparently that's not the case.
No. And, well, I can't even scroll to his quotes here because his computer's too slow. Sorry. But the bottom line is he came out and said, oh, well, they took my quote out of context and it was unprofessional. No, what's unprofessional is it – he's in a tough spot. I mean, this guy has got to rebuild this – he's got to keep this program at a high level on the field. And they've got to distance themselves as much as possible from crap like this. But he basically said, had I recognized him, the situation would have been handled differently. But regardless of that, my comment of I don't know him was taken out of context, and the way it was portrayed by some in the media, in my opinion, was unprofessional.
Well, I mean, how is that supposed to be taken? I don't know him.
There's not too many ways you can interpret that.
It doesn't have a lot of meanings. If someone says, hey, what do you think of so-and-so? If I say I don't know him, it can only, as far as I know, the only meaning of that is I don't know him. Yeah. Like, I don't know who he is.
He says, I thought the basic assumption was that I didn't know Sean Oakman. I would not recognize him. I'd never met him before. And to say I don't know who Sean Oakman is does not mean I don't know the situation, but I don't know him personally. And so I wouldn't be able to recognize him if he was in our locker room. I thought that was clear, but apparently it wasn't. My point was, I don't know Sean personally. Well, that's still a bad answer. And this is,
that still doesn't explain. If you know who he is, you should know why he's in your locker room. And or if you don't know who he is.
And when you're asked that, you know what you should say? I didn't know he was going to be in the locker room. That's not something we're going to allow to happen again. And it's unacceptable.
I don't know what it's like at Baylor as far as locker room access, but I do know at the University of Texas, where I covered that team for 6 years. I've been in the locker room at Texas one time ever, and it's when they completely redid the locker room and they brought the media into ooh and ah at it. The security to get in and out of the locker room is so tight with these college programs that no one's getting in who isn't supposed to be in. So, again, this is a case where they let somebody in.
But let's just be honest. Texas is a lot tighter than a lot of these other schools in terms of
access.
Man,
I would think Baylor would be pretty they'd be tightened up right now. I mean, I don't know how much bad stuff you have to have go wrong for you over the course of 10 years that you'd want it to be basically self-contained as possible. I mean, wouldn't you expect that they'd be pretty tight about it?
Yes and no. I mean, certainly with guys like that, I would not want them anywhere near the locker room. But it's one of those things, man. I mean, Texas has always been very, when it comes to the media, they've had very specific rules, and it's their access has always been pretty limited because it could be. I mean, that's how they've run things for years, and that's okay. It's a lot more than a school like Baylor. Baylor's always been fairly media friendly. Now, in this situation, and this isn't media. Sean Oakman's not media. This is former players,
right?
I don't know how you let that happen. I mean, how somebody doesn't say, dude, you can't be here.
I would think that'd be the first thing someone would say, but it's a different world down there, apparently.
Again, though, it just shows that they haven't.
They don't get it.
No, they don't, and they haven't quite recognized the gravity of this whole thing. And you can't let that guy in there. If he wants to go to a game, there's not a hell of a lot you can do about it.
Buy a ticket, bro.
Yeah, but you can't let him in your locker room. So, that I don't get. And Art Briles needs to stop. He needs to stop going to games. He needs to stop showing his face. Dude, distance your – they need to distance from you. And this is not just some – this isn't some recruiting thing.
No.
This is a bad scandal. All right, 713-780-3776 if you want to get into the
I would have thought when they hired Grobe, there would have been some sort of conversation about – this is what we're going to avoid at all costs.
Well, and that's the thing. Every time he does something, I mean, every time that they do something, I think, okay, they're really doing a good job of trying to get past this. Then something like this happens, and I can't blame the school for the Briles thing, but I damn sure can blame them for Sean Oakman showing up in the locker room. Somebody says, to be fair, the security at Rice was almost non-existent. Well, that's another thing. But
I'll say this though: Rice starts winning 10 games a year. The security will get upped.
Yeah.
I mean, and Baylor's been winning 9-10 games a year for a while now. I would expect better security there.
Baylor's kind of an interesting team to me now because they we talked a little bit earlier in the week about how the Big 12 is going to be up against it in the playoff. I still don't know what Baylor is because they really haven't had that game yet. Now they'll get it this week. They've looked pretty good against
bad football teams.
Against really bad football teams. It's hard to tell. It's the same thing with Clemson last week. Is Clemson back because they house some directional school? I don't know. It's sometimes you need to get right in those games. But I see a lot that I like in Baylor. I just wonder You know, I wonder how good they are. And I think we'll find that out. The season really starts for them this week. And if they beat Oklahoma State, I think you'll be, who knows what they'll be. I mean, I see just watching the two games of theirs I've watched, the one thing that seems to be lacking a little bit is depth. And that's probably because you had so many
kids.
Well,
yeah, you've got way less scholarships than you're used to. You've got a bunch of kids leaving. That's the first thing that's going to take a hit. But, I'm not convinced that Baylor has good enough coaching anymore to overcome those issues. Right. I don't think this is a great team. And you know, we haven't really seen them play anybody. I would honestly say a 28-point win over Rice isn't really that impressive. A 27-point win over SMU isn't that impressive.
Right.
You know, of course, your expectations are set a little bit different because 10 years ago, Baylor would kill for that. But where their expectations have been raised to, it's not been impressive performances. Like you said, this weekend we'll see something new out of them. We'll know more of what they're about. I don't know if it'll answer every question, but it should at least give us a decent idea. There was a story that came out today that I thought was a little strange out of the Dallas Morning News. And the title of it was "Why the Big 12 Now Needs to Cheer for Baylor Football." And I'll be honest, I really don't think that if the Big 12 could only have one representative in the national championship, I think they'd rather not have that than have it be Baylor.
Yeah, because that story is going to be...
It's going to dominate.
And frankly, nationally, it never got the attention that it probably should have. It took a long time for it to get any run in this state. But once that happens, once that thing, if they were to be in the playoff, man, that's going to be the story every single day leading up to it. It is going to be in the national conversation. And maybe that's not a bad thing, because should they even be playing in this, considering what happened there?
Should they be playing at all this year?
Well, that's the thing. And those are questions that maybe if they got in there, maybe those are questions that would be asked.
And in the story, it talks about it, that back in July, Bob Bowlesby didn't want to answer questions about whether or not Baylor would be considered for removal from the Big 12. And now all of a sudden, everybody else in the conference is supposed to say, oh, yeah, we'd love to have Baylor represent us on a national level. I don't think so,
No, I don't think anybody wants that. All right, guys, got to tell you about my good friends at Texas Mattress Makers and what they're doing for you and what they're doing for the kids of Houston, because this is what they do. Well, first off, they make great mattresses, and they sell them to you at ridiculously low prices. They do that. But they're extending their Labor Day savings while they add up to more beds that are going to be donated to the Houston Children's Charity. This is something they do every year. For every purchase of $500 or more, Texas Mattress Makers will donate a bed to a Houston child in need. And guys, this is serious. There's a list of more than 20,000 children under the age of 16 that are waiting for a bed and unable to afford it in Houston alone. So if you go to Texas Mattress Makers, for one thing, you're going to get a great mattress. You're going to save a bunch of money because they're going to make the mattress right there and sell it directly to you. And if you spend $500 or more, you're going to help a kid who needs a bed get a bed because they're going to donate it. And it's just a win-win-win all around, because you're going to get a great night's sleep. You're going to feel better about how you sleep, and you're going to help somebody out. That's what they do at Texas Mattress Makers. Yuval and the gang over there do a fantastic job. They want to put you on the best mattress for you. They're not going to ask you how much you want to spend. They're going to ask you how you want to sleep, and then they're going to help you find the perfect bed for you. That's Texas Mattress Makers at 4619 Navigation at the corner with Lockwood. Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price.
Bored as hell and I wanna get ill, so I went to a place where my homeboys chill. The fellas out there making that dollar, I pulled up in my 6'4" Impala. They greet me with a 40 and I
ESPN 97.5.
Yo, G, they can't stop me from rapping, can they? Can they hop?
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Baybrook Mall in Friendswood. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Baybrook Mall, getting ready for Texans-Patriots tonight. And, man, I really, really love the setup here. With all these great restaurants and You had Dave and Buster's down there in Maggiano's, and of course Perry's, who brought us some fantastic food, which we were kind of hoping for a little bit longer break, you know, just because we had to do a little extra last hour, and the food's kind of sitting right in front of us. John, don't want to say anything.
John won't help us out.
No, it's because he doesn't have any. He's jealous. That's all right.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I don't blame him. In case you missed it, looks like Gronkowski will play tonight, which I kind of suspected when the line started moving back to New England today. That thing's been all over the place. I haven't really seen this much line movement in a while on a game, but Texas at one point were 2.5-point favorites, and now the last I looked, it was Patriots minus one. So I guess Gronk moves that line a little bit.
All over the place. Yeah, Gronk will help.
And that's really the big news, but I still think – yeah, the real question is going to be whether or not they can get him the football. You're talking about a third-string rookie quarterback, and yeah, I know Belichick can work some magic, but I think that's an awful lot to ask. And yeah, Garoppolo had months to prepare for this. He knew he was going to be doing. He's been in the system for a while, and of course, he looked fantastic. But you know, now we're talking about a guy who was never supposed to be in this situation, and you know, he played enough on Sunday for the Texans to get a little film on him. So we'll see how it goes, but I think it's going to be an interesting game, and I'm really, really excited to see the Texans in a primetime game that actually means something this early in the season. We'll see how it goes. So apparently the players let him in the locker room. Their quarterback said he's still their brother. Well, then their players are the problem is if the players have that attitude, then that's coming from on high. That's a real problem.
Yeah, if one of my brothers was a rapist, I probably wouldn't let him into my place of business. That's one of those things that you avoid.
Well, I got to tell you, that just shows an entire lack of understanding of the situation from top to bottom. If, oh, well, you know, dude, you got to let it play out. Yeah, you can still be friends with the guy and talk to the guy and
but you know what?
Let
even
it play
if
out in the courts, but you can't have him in that locker room.
You
that's
say
crap.
The players let him in. I mean, it's not like there's a door to the outside of the stadium that someone can just open and let you in like it's a movie theater. You got to go in through like the bowels of the stadiums, and you're not even supposed to get in there without you know, a certain kind of pass or something.
Well, Rice Stadium does have bowels. That place needs a little bit of a
this stadium, you know, this brand new stadium, I'm sure there's not like a back exit.
No.
That just opens up to the public. I'm guessing no.
All right, 713-780-ESPN if you wish to text the show. We will. That's going to be the only way to get in today, and unless you want to, you can tweet us. But I'm not able to get Twitter, so I don't know. I'm still baffled over this computer thing. I'm going to try it again on the next break. Well, no, I'm going to eat more food on the next break. Never mind.
Yeah, it's time.
Yeah, but John always makes them short on us. One of the teams in the division that we've talked about a little bit that. Everybody seemed to think was going to be pretty good, and so far they have not been, as the Jaguars. We also, at one point earlier this week, gave you Gus Bradley's record, which you could argue is the
horrendous.
Worst.
Horrendous.
The worst record for a coach in the history of the NFL through 50 games who didn't own the team himself.
Yeah.
That's pretty telling, right?
It's pretty unbelievable that he's lasted this long, and this was kind of a make-or-break season for him, and it looks like it's going to be a break season.
Well, Blake Bortles says it's his fault.
Oh.
He's an unbelievable head coach. Well, I don't believe his record either, so I guess that's accurate. And we take full responsibility in everything that we've done. I, as a quarterback, haven't played well in two games, and our offense hasn't played well in two games. For anything to change, I'm going to have to play better. I kind of felt like he said that after almost every single game last year.
Well, maybe he should be fired.
he's the classic, he's going to put up numbers guy, usually because they're way behind. And that's why when people would go, oh, Blake Bortles is really good. As a fantasy quarterback, he was really good.
Yeah.
Because the team would get way behind, so he'd throw the ball a lot. He has some playmakers on offense who would get touchdowns. But he also turned the ball over in the fourth quarter in key situations all the time to the point that it was detrimental to his team. And I think that's the kind of stuff that gets overlooked. And it's not just the interceptions, it's the fumbles, it's the bad decisions.
It's all of it, yeah.
Yeah, and in late in games.
But, I mean, he's a young quarterback, so it's not surprising that he deals with that stuff, but...
At some point,
you need to see growth.
Yeah, and maybe he does grow this season. But and then some guys have stretches where they don't do it, like Kirk Cousins for the second half of last season, where he quit turning the ball over. Guess what happened? Redskins started winning.
Yep.
Guess what's happened so far this year? He's back to being the Kirk Cousins that he was most of his career, where he's going to put up a bunch of yards and throw a bunch of picks. And at this stage, Bortles should be taking that step. He's got enough of a body of work now. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't a young guy when he came into the league. He's 22, 23, so he's now had 3 years in the league. It needs to get better.
Yeah.
And I just don't – I'm not going to put it all on him. I just think with that coaching staff, I don't see much hope for them. I really don't. I mean, at some point, you got to realize you're just not going to win. And so Bortles stat padding is a mirage, just like how Schaub had the nation fooled for two seasons. You go back to that year where Schaub threw for 4,600 yards. There was a lot of that. Not as many interceptions. But, you know, he did. And really, Brian Hoyer last year.
Yeah.
I mean, he padded his stats in a lot of games. I feel like Gus Bradley's a good coach. Yep.
You can feel that all
you
want.
Yep. I see what you're saying. Definitely.
On my way down here, I passed that mattress place that said, "That's a fact, Jack."
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That somebody had brought up. I remember that guy now. I guess he doesn't advertise anymore because I don't see him. So,
but he still has that sign on his building.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He does. A lot of people asking, do you have any betting interest in tonight's game? I do not. I will not be playing tonight. I don't mind the under. But
I like the under more than I like a side.
Yeah, but I just don't have it. It's always hard because I'm probably being more skeptical of the Texans going into this game than if I were just looking out on the surface. I'd probably say Texans, but I can't. So, you know, I have no interest in playing it. And if you have to do something, I would say the under. All right, 713-780-ESPN. We're out here at Baybrook Mall, which I always thought this was Webster, but I guess it's Friendswood technically.
I would have thought that too.
Yeah.
It seems far away from Friendswood, but I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's on 45. You can't miss it. It's on 45 on your way to Webster, so if you're coming from the north. So it's a terrific setup that they have here. Lots of great restaurants, lots of great bars, and we're right in the middle of it. And they've got this outside screen set up for the game tonight. So every 30 minutes, we're giving away stuff.
It's hard to beat.
Yeah, and go see the promo people. Just go tell them, hey, I want to sign up. I want to win some free stuff. Fred and AJ said I could win free stuff, cool stuff like Maggiano's gift cards, Hover helmets, the Bush Game Guard bird belts, Schlitterbahn prize packs, Rudy's barbecue gift card, DVD with ESPN T-shirts and prize packs. Oh, and Deep South barrels. Don't let me forget those guys. Sponsor right. What Are the Odds Wednesday. So you can win some of that stuff. All you got to do is come sign up and hang out. We'll be here till 7. Game will kick off a little bit after that, and you can enjoy your Texans on a gigantic screen out here at beautiful Baybrook Mall. All right, and you can't go wrong. If you're going to get some food, go over to Perry's. You can't go wrong with that. They man, that pork, I'm just telling you.
I'm telling you, I live less than a mile from Perry's. Yeah, not this Perry's, but there's a Perry's up on Cutton and Cypresswood. And I go eat that $15 pork chop on Fridays. That's the best bargain in food in this whole town. And my wife and I went there for our anniversary dinner. I mean, they just do good, great food. Maggiano's is great, too. I mean, there's great food all over this place. I mean, that's a good thing, man.
You can't go wrong here. Somebody says Webster's on the other side of the highway and Friendswood is this side.
No.
Okay. That would make perfect sense. I should know that. But it's all grown up since I was here.
These are your people.
Those places were tiny when I was here. All right, quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Statues in
is the Blitz.
Don't you get it?
On ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Baybrook Mall in Friendswood. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz, live here at Baybrook Mall in Friendswood. Joining us now, as he does every week, fantasy football expert. You can find his podcast on harrisfootball.com. Follow him on Twitter, @harrisfootball. Christopher Harris joins us, and I guess we'll start with tonight, Christopher. It's how much do you what do you do with guys like Edelman and players like that, knowing that you don't even have Garoppolo? And it also looks like Gronk's going to play, and I assume you have to play him because you probably invested such a high pick in him.
I agree with that. I almost think, yeah, it's probably some kind of rotation with Martellus Bennett, but I think he's probably just rolled out there and hope with the kid quarterback that maybe the short stuff is what works. Edelman, I have significantly lower in my running back rank, Webster ranks, than I typically would. In my quarterback ranks, oh my God, he's so high. But in my, you know, they're talking about him maybe being the backup if something happens to the rookie. Yeah, the question just becomes, how magical is Bill Belichick really? Because we all thought week one, no chance. You're going no Gronk, no Brady, no either of your starting tackles. You're going to Arizona, Super Bowl contending teams. No way you're going to win, and they do. And now you've got a good Houston team. I don't know if everybody would say it's great, but it's good. And coming into a team that it's essentially me playing quarterback, how magical is Belichick?
Must be good at the zone read then.
What's that?
All right. That's, you must be good at the zone read then if you were playing quarterback tonight. So, Christopher Harris, our guest, obviously with the news on Adrian Peterson, how much does that value his backups? How do you have those guys ranked this week?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just remembering 2014 when there wasn't an easy solution when Peterson was out. It was Jerick McKinnon as the better player, but it was Matt Asiata constantly stealing touchdowns. And Ronnie Hillman was added, and I don't give him much credence yet, but he could get in the mix, and it's a tough matchup against Carolina. For the moment, I'll say I prefer McKinnon, but I doubt he gets any of the short scores, which, of course, can be the lifeblood for running back value sometimes.
Another big running back that went down was Doug Martin, and I think Charles Sims is a pretty decent replacement, pretty decent all-around back. Your thoughts on him?
I think that's right. I think he's pretty decent. You guys know him pretty well, and you know, my impression of him on film from last year was that he kind of didn't have that. The one thing he was lacking is all the physical tools you'd want, lacking patience and kind of running with his hair on fire, a million miles an hour, not always setting up a block, sometimes running into the backs of linemen. And that's the kind of thing that they can coach out of a kid, and they can kind of teach him to be a little more patient. And I don't think I've seen enough of him yet this year to say whether I think that's the case. He seems to have a good chance. I don't think he's going to get the full accompaniment of carries any more than Doug Martin did. This was pretty much a 60-40 split between Martin and Sims, and now it's Jacoby Rogers, and so it's probably something like 70-30 or 60-40 in favor of Sims. But, yeah, if I'm judging like Sims as a potential fill-in as opposed to McKinnon as a potential fill-in, I'm totally with you. I think that's why I think I'd probably, for this week, rather have Sims.
The other running back that goes down is up in Detroit, and I don't know that Theo Riddick's much of a downgrade from Ameer Abdullah. What are your thoughts on him? But I still don't know if that's a spot you necessarily want to be investing in, Lions running backs. What do you think?
Yeah, because, like, do we think that one injury to a player suddenly changes the three-headed monster that it had devolved into? Probably not. They just add another monster to the head or whatever. I don't know. But I think Abdullah is a better player than Theo Riddick, pretty clearly. A dynamic cutter. The run he got hurt on was a crazy run. I mean, it was a highlight reel type move. And of course, he gets his foot lands on, and then he's out for a while. I agree with you though that Riddick is in that same role. You know, he's going to catch the ball. He's probably not going to carry it a ton. Dwayne Washington, I'm fascinated to see. I don't think he's just a plotter. He was a big high school recruit, and at University of Washington, he kind of never found a position at first. They were moving around a little bit. He was hurt. Just sort of disappointing as a college player, but a lot more ability than, say, Matt Asiata, for example. So I think it does wind up being like Riddick, Dwayne Washington, maybe Zach Zenner then becomes the goal line back. That would be annoying. It's kind of an annoying situation, I agree.
A lot of people, because Jamal Charles expected to play this weekend, make his return, a lot of people have taken that as a cue to throw Spencer Ware onto the trash heap. I've been telling people I can't recommend against that enough, given Jamal's injury history. I mean, are you, if you've got Jamal Charles, would you be running to the waiver wire to scoop up Spencer Ware if he's available there?
Sure, it seems like a pretty good handcuff. But I think the larger point is, from what Andy Reid's talking about, I don't know that Jermall Charles actually does play this week. You know, why is he still running with the scout team? Why is Andy Reid telling people? I mean, granted, it's coach speak, so who really knows? But Reid has been pretty upfront about Charles to this point, and he's been telling people maybe one more week would help him. I don't know. This is the kind of thing that I think most injury experts, and I have some sometimes on my podcast, will never in a million years, a few months ago, would have said, oh, yeah, there's a real good chance Jermall Charles isn't ready the first month of the season. For me, this is behind schedule. Something weird's going on. For sure, I would be hanging on to Spencer Ware, and if he's dropped, even if you don't own Jermall Charles, I'd be adding him.
Christopher Harris, our guest. Christopher, from I know you've watched all the games and you watch all the tape on these guys. It seems like we're seeing teams really struggle to run the football here early in the season, and low yardage, just in general, low yardage averages. Is that kind of a trend that we should expect to continue, or is it just a product of there's a lot of injuries and these running backs aren't that good and offensive lines aren't getting their act together yet?
Maybe all of it could be true kind of at the same time. I think in week one there might have been 200-yard rushers, and that's really low, but there were more in week two. You wouldn't know it by D'Angelo Williams. You know, Matt Forte was pretty good one week ago today. And then some of the bigger names are like you said, injured, and there are committees behind them. There are just a lot of committees in general. And I would say maybe we're at a point where a generation of running backs is sort of aging out. They're all turning 30, and that's going to happen sometimes. But I don't know that I can blame Adrian Peterson's like knee cartilage going bad or meniscus or whatever because of age 31. I'm not sure I can draw that straight line. But and Doug Martin's young, and Jonathan Stewart's not old, and so I guess there's probably not one answer. Maybe it's a little bit of a small sample size. It's a little bit of the trend in the league, which is obviously towards heavy passing. And then just a few running backs like Todd Gurley in situations that aren't taking the best advantage of him yet, but hopefully will get their acts together. But how could you? You're right. I mean, how could you look at the empirical evidence and say, oh, yeah, great, you're so far for running backs. I mean, it's been really poor.
What do you do, speaking of running backs, if you own a guy like Chris Ivory, who just a strange situation with him not playing? Is he going to be back this week? And what do you do with a guy like that?
Yeah, it sounds like he will, but I don't think that's a sure thing. And just based on the confidentiality of his medical situation, we don't know exactly what's going on. He's been at practice, though, and he's been participating in practice, which makes you think whatever it is, it's not something serious enough to make it so he shouldn't ever put a uniform on or anything like that. I think you hold. I wouldn't be dropping him except for in the most shallow of leagues. And probably in a couple of weeks, we're going to forget this happened, and it's going to be the weird, annoying platoon that we imagined when it was going to be Ivory and TJ Yeldon. And Yeldon's been okay. I thought he was better in week one. And in week two, all they're down 35-0 in the third quarter. Guess what? It wasn't a good offensive day for them. But Yeldon hasn't done anything to make anybody forget that Ivory's on the roster, so probably comes right back to that annoying split that we were imagining. And I think, and hope, I guess, health-wise, this will wind up being something that he puts in his rearview mirror.
Have any of these young quarterbacks, the Carson Wentzes, have any of them look like guys that you might want to pick up and stash for later in the season, that they might actually become something if Carson Wentz doesn't get his head taken off from not sliding, basically? But is there one of those guys that stands out to you as somebody who might help you later in the year?
Well, Wentz is a good place to start. I agree that through two games he's been very controlled and very good, but I also say two of the poor teams in the NFL that he's beaten, not exactly adding a revelation that the Browns and Bears aren't good, but when you're not chasing on the scoreboard, you can really stay within yourself. And the numbers from Monday night were low. We had a couple long drops that they're caught. His numbers look fine. People are raving. This is going to be a tough one against the Steelers, and he likely will be chasing a little bit on the scoreboard, but you can't fake some of the stuff that he's done well. So I can imagine using him in a bye week type situation or a two quarterback league type situation down the road. I'm not really into Trevor Siemian. You know, he's not really taking any chances. He's barely targeting the outside receivers. I still think at some point, if the Broncos lose a couple games, they have to look at the kid. But, you know, if you keep going undefeated, you just kind of, well, I just go with what's working. Jimmy Garoppolo's been the best of them, but you're not going to need to use Jimmy Garoppolo in a couple weeks.
That's Christopher Harris, fantasy football expert. Follow him on Twitter, at Harris Football, and all his rankings are on harrisfootball.com, so go check those out. Christopher, really appreciate the time as always, sir, and we will talk to you again next week.
Thank you very much. It's a blood feud. Obviously, I'm in Massachusetts, so I have to admit I may have placed a couple dollars on the Texans, but hey, we're going to keep that between us.
Oh, well, I will. I won't tell anybody, but I will tell you, if I were going to put money on it, I would be using mybookie.lv, which is what I do use for my bets. How about that for a transition? Was that professional?
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Very, very, very smooth.
Have
Thanks,
a good one,
guys.
Chris.
I really appreciate it. Talk to you.
All right. Yeah, and the great thing about MyBookie is I've used a lot of websites. This is the one that I use now exclusively, because what I like about them, if you win, you actually get paid. This isn't like a lot of these sites where they're trying to hit you up with, you know, checks that take a week and you have to put them in your bank account and then wait another month for them to clear. There's nothing more frustrating than that. MyBookie.lv is the industry-leading website. Real Vegas odds, incredible player props, live in-game action with odds updated in real time, fast, no-hassle payouts when you win. And the cool thing is, I do my sports betting there, and they've got a great race book as well that's got full-track odds and full-track bets, which a lot of these sites don't have. And if you join now, your first deposit's going to be matched dollar for dollar up to $1,000, and you'll get an extra 10% bonus when you sign up and deposit in the next 30 minutes. Use promo code FRED to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie today or call 844-900-BETS. Open your account and start winning. Ditch your bookie. Got to check out MyBookie. MyBookie.lv. Sign up today.
Glasses, the ushers keeps them in the collection baskets, and they trying to dine us with some damn wine and cracks. Who's more important than your Lord and Savior? Won't let the pearly gates up in. It's probably due to all your poor behavior.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Baybrook Mall in Friendswood, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. We're broadcasting live from Baybrook Mall. Join us on the lawn in the new outdoor mall add-on of Baybrook Mall. Bring blankets, chairs, snacks, and non-alcoholic beverages, and get ready to catch Thursday night football on the big screen when the Texans take on the Patriots, and we're giving away great prizes every 30 minutes. Make sure to swing by the ESPN tent to enter to win mall gift cards, ESPN swag, tickets, and more. And they got a bunch of great giveaway stuff, and it's free.
So when they say non-alcoholic drinks, can you get an alcoholic drink here and bring it out to your seat?
That I don't know. I have no idea.
We've got questions. We need answers.
Yeah. Somebody needs to let the people know on that.
Because that's a game changer if that's the case.
Yeah. This is definitely a great place, though, to come watch the game. And they've already got some chairs set up out here for you. And now that the sun's kind of gone behind the building, it's really comfortable out here. So
it's much better. Shout out to our listener, Jason, who he knows one of my pet peeves is when people try to shake my hand while I'm eating.
Yeah.
It's like the worst thing someone can do, because it puts you in the awkward situation where this guy is either going to, you're either going to shake his hand and it's gross and you're eating, or you're not going to shake his hand and then he's going to tell his friends, oh yeah, I met AJ one time, he was a total a-hole, didn't want to shake my hand,
right.
He thinks he's so great. Jason was like, oh, I know you guys are eating, so I won't shake your hand, but I love the show. I love that. So kudos to him.
Yeah, that's an A-list listener there.
Yeah, that made my day today, because the last thing I want to do is, while I'm eating a cookie, shake your hand and then go back to my cookie. Because Jason seems like a nice enough guy. I have no idea what he's been doing with that hand all day.
No idea. And then you've got to switch hands if you do that, and then I've got to eat lefty.
Yep.
And I'm not good at that. I can't go left. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the gem of the day, the Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
Now, Jong says you cannot bring alcohol out here because he's been here
damn
at night on Saturdays and whatnot.
Well, I mean, I guess you could.
But you can sit right there.
Conceivably get a patio table
right
here.
And, yeah, over at the at that Rupor Bar, you could sit right there. Or Maggiano's. Yeah. I mean, any of those places. You can sit out there on the patio.
Or you could just pour whatever you want into your Yeti and pretend like it's apple juice.
Yeah, that's what most
– what grown-ups do.
Grown-ups basically find ways to
sneak
it in.
Yeah. If you've been on this earth for 20-something years and you don't know how to sneak booze into a place where you're not allowed to have booze, I don't know what to tell you.
You can have a Sprite bottle that, you know, it's got a little bit of Sprite in it, but if the rest of it's vodka, they'll never know.
Never know.
All right. Anyway, on to the –
who's going to question that?
Exactly. It's like, oh, it's bubbly. It looks like Sprite. It's clear. It looks like Sprite. Must be Sprite.
Yeah. Now, don't pass out here.
Yeah, don't go stumbling around and falling all over the chairs like, oh, too much vodka.
By the way, we're not saying you should do that at all.
Oh, no. You should never do –
that'd be probably illegal.
It'd be against the law.
Yeah, so don't do that at all. But I'm just saying most people know how to do that if they were going to.
Well, yeah, if it's that important to you.
Right.
All right. So we go to Canada, which is fast becoming the Florida of the North.
It is. So I think it's always been the Florida of the North.
It's getting there.
Is this Saskatchewan?
No, this is
because Saskatchewan kind of is like the Florida of Canada.
No, that's Manitoba is really the
you
Florida.
Think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm. Although you did have the bear guy in the wine bottle last week, but actually it doesn't say exactly where this is located, so I'm going to guess it's probably Ontario. But an employee at the Royal Canadian Mint is accused of smuggling $180,000 worth of gold out of his job. He is accused of transporting several cookie-sized gold pieces called pucks out of the mint and selling them to a gold buyer. His debt dealings allegedly netted him almost $180,000 over the course of a few months.
Good for him.
And I mean, if you're asking
caught,
me,
that was dumb.
Well, if you want to know how he managed to get away with it, he was hiding them in his rectum.
Oh, well.
And
I'm just thinking about the cookie I just ate, and that'd be a large, uncomfortable...
Yes. Puck, as it were.
But then you think about it, $180,000, is it worth it to walk around with that discomfort?
Well,
and I guess that's a personal choice that he had to make.
How
important is $180,000 to you?
During testimony, it was revealed he set off the metal detectors at work more than other employees, but they never seemed to find anything on him. A security employee then tested the idea that the pucks could be concealed in an anal cavity and not be detected by the wand. So they actually tested this. That's how they caught him. Investigators say that he used Vaseline they found in his work locker.
Ugh.
He's charged with 5 criminal offenses, including possession of property obtained by crime and theft over $5,000. He was also fired from the mint.
Well, yeah, usually they don't let you come back to work.
That should go without saying that you're fired.
If someone ever has to dig inside your body cavities, they usually don't bring you back on Monday.
Right.
That's a rule of thumb with most employers.
CTV reports the court won't reach a decision in the case until November. But the defense claims that Mint isn't even sure their gold is missing. They just happened to find some that matched it. So we shall see. All right, that is your Zadok Jewelers gem.
Does he get to keep the gold? They don't want it back, do they?
Well, no, because he doesn't have it.
Day.
He sold it.
It's the gem of the day. Jeweler gem.
Worst part of this,
day.
Reading this story, if you're his gold buyer.
Yeah.
And now you know where it's been and all the transactions you made. You're
speaking
like,
of not wanting to shake hands.
That's why I don't want to shake hands with people. Because of people like that.
Maybe he got a piece of gold that has been somewhere.
Gross.
There you go.
Man, by the way, Perry's with the save today. I was eating that pork chop and I was like, oh, I'll just eat a little bit of pork chop. That way, when I get home, my wife's cooking dinner. She won't be like pissed off that I ate dinner when she was planning on cooking. She sent me the text. I'm thinking about doing leftovers tonight. Me, jackpot. Ate another piece of that pork chop. That's the way it should be. So, Perry's, good job tonight. Bringing the love.
That was my lunch and dinner, so
yeah.
I'm very happy. Soccer Bilal said he worked in Ottawa. Okay, so Ottawa.
Ottawa.
So.
Oh, we shouted out Maggiano's for the beer, too.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, we're about that beer, too.
Yeah, we really appreciate it.
And we're about these cookies from Nestle Toll House. We're about all that stuff.
Yeah, we appreciate all of them. We've shown them the love several times.
Where are you going with my applesauce? I'm just kidding.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Thanks for clearing our table.
Yeah, appreciate that. You can have a cookie if you want. You need to try one of those. All right.
I went too far with that.
No, I'm waiting for you to say something that goes over the air that's inappropriate.
Yeah.
That you get in trouble for.
Get you fired.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Jong, when you said 2 minutes, what does that mean? 2 minutes till what?
Oh.
Oh.
Are we there yet?
Fred, your wife, is she cooking dinner tonight?
You know, I don't know what she's doing tonight. But
you better hope not.
Well, I'm not going to be able to eat, I can guarantee you that. Yeah. I've put away enough dead pig tonight to kill somebody. But
at least a pig.
Exactly.
Yeah, you put away enough pig to kill a pig.
What are you saying? You call me a pig?
No, I'm saying
because that would be cannibalistic.
It's true,
and I'm not about that. All right. Anyway, what we're doing next week is we've got three orders coming from Blue Apron, which is fantastic. And you want to talk about great food, quality food, great ingredients? They're not all created equal. Blue Apron is a great service for less than $10 per meal. $10 per meal, you're going to get great recipes, great food, high quality. And it doesn't matter whether it's their ramen noodles or Alaskan salmon or heirloom tomatoes. They're bringing you the best. And less than $10 a meal. The cool thing is new recipes are created weekly and are not repeated within a year. You can choose your meals from a variety of recipes or let Blue Apron's team surprise you. And we love the ones we get. And the recipes have been so good, the wife has kept a bunch of them and made them since then. Each meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe and pre-portioned ingredients, and can be prepared in 40 minutes or less, and anybody can do it. I mean, they make it simple for you. They lay it out step by step, and they give you the right ingredients. Even I could do it. It's just I don't cook, so I don't. But the wife does, and it's very easy for her. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/FredF. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/FredF. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Set your clock and grab your jocks.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.